Good morning, and welcome again to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp, along with my wife Jean, here in the studio. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And we have two guests today. We have Michael Rigg, known as Bish to his friends, and we also have Sean Holbum. And Michael's going to speak on the Hero Walk. It's actually taking place today, Saturday, and it's in Lansdale. Michael's the organizer of that. Welcome to the studio, Michael.
And, thank you.
Give us a little rundown on the Hero Walk and what is it, and how did you get involved with it?
Well, about 6 years ago, 2009, Memorial Day, I was listening to a political broadcast out of Pittsburgh, and I heard a man by the name of Al Poulos, who was talking about walking across Pennsylvania to raise money to help veterans, and I had a feeling I should be doing this. I always tell people, if I had thought about this for more than 10 seconds, I would have not done it. But fortunately, it worked out good because I'm impulsive, and so I immediately signed up. I called this fellow Al Poulos the next day, and I said, "Yeah, I want to join up." His idea originally, this Al, was to walk from Philadelphia to above Pittsburgh himself, and then people like his family and myself and others said, no, you weren't going to do this alone. So that was in May of 2009. I heard about it. The first Pennsylvania Hero Walk was in June of 2009. That was the first one, and I was part of that. Started at the Philadelphia Art Museum. It does every year, and walk along Route 30, including through Exton and the whole way at Lancaster, York, Gettysburg, up over the mountains, and then we go above northwest to a town called Lower Borough. We don't actually go into Pittsburgh, but it's a little easier to tell people that you know, we're walking Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. So that was the first walk. That was 320 miles over 15 days or 14 days, and so it's quite an adventure. Now we're going to have our seventh walk on Sunday, the 14th, Flag Day, coming up from the Art Museum. We'll start, and again we'll walk 14 days, and you know, gather support donations that we now use for helping our Pennsylvania veterans in need. Originally, our group was associated with the Wounded Warrior Project. In fact, all the money we raised, which was over $800,000 until last year, net, was given to the Wounded Warrior Project. Last year, we decided our group would keep the money here. We're all volunteers, and we would see that it was used to help Pennsylvania veterans in need and also organizations that were helping Pennsylvania veterans. So it's been very rewarding. About 3 years ago, it was decided that I would organize a walk in Lansdale. Lansdale is not on the, that's where I'm from, Lansdale is not on the walk path, anywhere near the walk path, but most of the participants in the statewide walk are from Western Pennsylvania. So, and I've been involved in every walk across the state since 2009. It was decided that maybe be a good idea to have our own walk as a run up to the big walk that starts on Sunday. And so I organized 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I organized the first Hero Walk, Hometown Hero Walk, I call it, in Lansdale. And it's grown from where we've had about 850 the first year participants. We've had about 1,000 each year last 2 years, and I'm expecting the same kind of crowd on Saturday today that we'll have this. So we walk only for an hour, just an hour walk, and the way it works is Anybody that would like to participate, we ask for a $20 donation, and that's how we raise the bulk of the money. We also have about 70 different organizations, veterans organizations, companies that will be sponsors, we have T-shirts made up for the walk, and we have all these sponsors on the back of the T-shirts, and we have a program tells what we're who's supporting us. And this year we've had speakers before. This year decided not to have a speaker. We have a short program before we do the walk. We have food and a drink, and we have a band, and it's a nice little ceremony. And this year I decided we would just honor some of our deceased veterans. I've asked people that are participating if they have friends or relatives that were veterans that have passed away in recent years to name them, and we'll read those out at our little short program. And so it's been very a very personal, I think, thing for us to do this as a run up to the big walk, and which will begin on Flag Day Sunday.
That's great. So basically, you were involved for years with the major walk, the 14-day walk, and then you decided to do this on your own, and now you're doing it for
and all the funds that are raised on Saturday are definitely to the local veteran associations and veterans.
All the money we raise is the PA Hero Walk, including Saturday today, and also to that we do statewide goes to helping local veterans. We've concentrated on helping individual veterans, but we do give some of the money to different groups like the Philadelphia Multi-Service Center, Veterans Multi-Service Center, and some other groups that we've given some of the donation money to. But anything that's raised is given to support our veterans in need.
So it really is a hometown walk.
It's hometown, absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very good. The walk on Saturday today, actually, it will be, you'll be walking during the actual broadcast of our show, but we're going to do some promos on that. Hopefully people will join you. The length of the walk, you say, is an hour? Is that
an hour? Yes,
several miles.
It's whatever you can do in an hour. We have some people that can walk, a good pace. Our walk pace on the walk across the state is about a mile every 20 minutes, so 3 miles in an hour. There, our walk on Saturdays, exactly. If you go down to the memorial, the Veterans Memorial in Lansdale, it's a mile and a half, and a mile and a half back would make 3 miles. So you walk as much as you can, or in that hour. It's not that you have to have a goal. You just do what you can.
So anybody can partake in this.
Everybody
can.
That's great. Yes.
That's
yes.
Wonderful.
Very good. The monies that you've raised, again, how much did you raise in the Pennsylvania, and what do you expect to raise on this one?
Well, our goal, we've actually in our local walk here, we've raised about each of the last 2 years, we've raised about $46,000 just locally here in Lansdale, and then that's put in the big pot. And this year I'm hoping to exceed that. But our goal this year, statewide, our group, PA Hair Walk, is to raise $500,000. That's a pretty big stretch, but you got to set your standards high, and we're hoping we can do that.
Now, the walk from the art museum, you're saying that your local walk will have about 1,000. How many would actually be walking across the state on a normal day?
Very reduced numbers. We have 10.
Okay.
10 that walk the whole whole route.
So that's a pretty good return on investment. You got 10 people walking, you're going to make $500,000. wow. That's really great.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for coming and sharing with that with us, Bish.
Thank you.
And because the veteran community is, as we always say, we do not have a better country because of our veterans. It's because of our veterans that we have a country. So we thank you for that.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a break in a minute, and we'll be back on the other side. And we're then going to introduce Sean, who is the Veterans Affairs Officer or the Veterans Affairs Representative for the Office of Veterans Affairs here in Montgomery County. So we'll be back on the other side.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America. You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from the Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our two guests today, we have Michael Rigg. He just heard in the first segment talking about the Hometown Hero Walk in Lansdale. And we also have Sean Halbum. And Sean is the director of the Montgomery County Office of Veterans Affairs. And in talking with Sean earlier, it's one of the best kept secrets in all of Montgomery County. So, Sean, tell us a little bit about your office and the benefits that are available to our veterans that perhaps they're not aware of.
Oh, certainly. And thank you for having me on again today. So Montgomery County Veterans Affairs Office is a county-operated office. We're not a branch of the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs. Every county in Pennsylvania has a Veterans Affairs Office to specifically represent the county's population. And in a nutshell, what we do is assist Montgomery County residents apply for VA benefits. We are involved with housing assistance for veterans who are in need. And we will, next month, in July, hopefully be starting a shuttle service for veterans to access VA healthcare facilities, which is a big step for us. Bucks County has a similar program that provides rides to veterans to and from VA medical centers. But in Montgomery County, it's especially important because of the, you know, four local VA medical centers, which are Horsham, Philadelphia, Spring City, and Coatesville. Only one of those, Horsham, is physically within the boundaries of Montgomery County. So there's a large number of veterans who are able to use or would be able to use VA healthcare services but can't get to the location by way of services like Transnet because they won't cross county lines. So we're very excited to offer a free service to veterans who would like to access low-cost or no-cost VA healthcare services at one of those facilities, but have, you know, some kind of logistical barrier to getting there.
Very good. So you are Montgomery County, but you're not limited to Montgomery County. However, those persons that would come to your office would be Montgomery County residents?
Correct. So we're seeking to provide these rides to Montgomery County veterans. If they have a caretaker that needs to come with them, they're certainly welcome to. Above and beyond that, if you're a veteran and there's an open seat on the bus, though, you're welcome to it. You just have to be enrolled in VA healthcare before you get on, so that you can actually be seen at the VA medical center. And for folks that need assistance enrolling in VA healthcare, they can contact our office for assistance.
So you offer a tremendous amount of information, and you are a major resource for all types of services that are available. It's not just this transportation.
Yes. Our biggest contribution to veteran services is typically with claims. Veterans who are seeking disability compensation for service-connected injuries or illnesses, also needs-based benefits for veteran seniors and their surviving spouses. So we have a team of what are called veteran service officers at our office who assist Montgomery County residents at no charge to file these applications for veterans benefits, which if you've ever talked to somebody who's applied on their own can be quite painstaking.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about the Veterans Administration these past months and this past year and a half with all of the problems, and it's encouraging to see that your local and the federal level, it seems to be so cumbersome and so packed with bureaucracy that it's almost impossible to navigate that. So you help in the navigation part with that also, do you not?
Absolutely. And to remain upbeat, I can say that I'm seeing some very positive strides in terms of the federal VA. Things are moving in the right direction, but, you know, slower than you would like them to in many cases. But the best single piece of advice I can give any veteran or, you know, loved one of a veteran who is entering into this process is use a service organization. It doesn't necessarily need to be us, but an American Legion, VFW, DAV. As I mentioned, every county in the Commonwealth has an office similar to mine that will assist with filing a claim at no charge. But there was a very good analogy used recently that compared filing a claim for veterans benefits to filing an IRS tax return. You know, a lot of people go to H&R Block because the process just confounds them, or they're not sure that they're doing it right, or, you know, they just you know, like me, they don't want to wind up in jail if they check the wrong box.
Right.
So we're kind of like your H&R Block for filing a VA claim, but as mentioned before, there's no charge. So there's really no reason not to use our services.
We work with a lot of veterans through Brandywine Flags, and it astounds me that so many veterans don't join either a VFW or American Legion or something like that, because those groups are so helpful to the veterans, and they, if they can't help you, they can direct you to the proper person that can help you. So I would ask a lot of the veterans out there, or if you know any veterans, tell them to join up with the VFW or something. Because they can get a lot of information from there and a lot of help from them, or the American Legion or the other service groups.
The other thing is the fact that you're a veteran, you're a Marine, 2004 to 2009, and we thank you for your service.
Oh, my pleasure.
And the fact that you've been there, you can understand it. I think that we should have it as a mandatory situation where, in order to provide services like this, you have to have some kind of military history, some kind of military service in your own personal resume, only because if you don't understand what the process is within the mindset of a veteran, and there are just so many things that are different in how you view things, I think that's really important. So in doing this, let's seek the proper help and seek the proper guidance.
Absolutely. Just going back to what Gene said about the service organizations, I couldn't agree more. There are a good number in Montgomery County. I think we have close to about 100 between American Legion, VFWs, Vietnam Veterans of America,
right,
in local chapters. And in addition,
do you have a Marine Corps League in Montgomery County?
Yes, we have. I think three. There's one in Red Hill. I'm a member at one in Jenkintown area, and then there's another in Bridgeport. But all of those organizations do great work in their communities as well. Most recently, Montgomery, or on Memorial Day, the service organizations in Montgomery County placed over 50,000 American flags on veterans' graves buried throughout Montgomery County, which is a really nice tribute to the veterans who
served. Lot of people think that those flags are placed there by the county, but they're not. It's the service groups that do that every year.
The county does pick up the tab for the
right,
flags.
Right, they pay for them. Yeah. Correct. Yes.
I know that one of the other things that you're seeking to do, and that is to end the homelessness. Tell us a little bit about that program that you have going on.
Yes. Yeah, so a couple years back, the VA set out to end veteran homelessness in the U.S. by 2016, which is a very aggressive goal, and if the cynics among us might say impossible. But when we say end veteran homelessness, we have a goal in mind, which is called an effective zero. And what an effective zero is identifying your literally homeless veteran population, housing them, and then determining through data that we gather how many veterans are likely to become homeless each month in our area. And in Montgomery County, we believe about 7 to 8 veterans will become homeless on any given month due to a variety of circumstances. So what we've sought out to do is we've partnered with nonprofit organizations, with other community organizations, and veteran stakeholders throughout Montgomery County to put a collaborative effort together. So we work with the VA, we work with the Veterans Multi-Service Center, community organizations like the PA Hero Walk have donated money to our office to help fund programs. And we've had great success. Since February of last year, I believe we've housed somewhere in the neighborhood of close to about 120 veterans who were either homeless or at immediate risk of becoming homeless. And we believe we will end veteran homelessness in Montgomery County by 2016 by simply pairing veterans with resources that they may not have known were available. One of the biggest tools in our fight here is grant funding, individual grant funding through the state and through a veterans foundation called the Pennsylvania Veterans Foundation, which if you get the veteran designation on your driver's license, you can donate $3 to that PA Veterans Foundation, which is a great service. And what they do is provide grant funding for individuals to avoid becoming homeless. So if you have a car repair that you need made so you can get back and forth to your job so you can pay your rent and you can't afford to pay that car repair, we can use that grant funding to help you.
That's great. So it's not like you're seeking to locate the homeless. In addition to that, you're trying to identify those that are at risk. So anyone that is in need of any kind of help can come to you for assistance, and you can be of a benefit to that.
So you're giving a hand up and not necessarily a hand out to the veterans.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's great. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side. We'll continue the conversation.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 PM on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And we've been speaking with Sean Halbum. And Sean, bring us up to speed on the Veterans Treatment Court that you have in the offering now with the department.
So Veterans Treatment Court is, if you're familiar with the term, a diversionary court program. which Montgomery County has three. There's a behavioral health court, there's a drug treatment court, and the newest of the three is the Veterans Treatment Court. And Veterans Treatment Court seeks veterans who are generally first-time and nonviolent offenders who are suffering from either post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injuries, or other traumas that are traced to that veteran's military service. And the goal is to identify veterans who are, you know, not career criminals, who are not, you know, veterans or individuals who, you know, you come to mind when you picture a criminal in your head. And we, for lack of a better term, give them a second chance by allowing them to participate in this court program, which pairs them with VA services, counseling services, sometimes AA or NA services, and most importantly, in my opinion, a veteran mentor who can act as you know, a shoulder to lean on.
Yeah, it's the flashbacks, the nightmares, all of the things that you've experienced as a veteran, as a combat vet, oftentimes surface in unusual ways. Whether it be an action that you see in your local community that will just trigger something, or even a song or a piece of music or a date would be the thing. And so what you're saying is that we're going to try and get some help for these folks and not just do the incarceration side where effectively there is no treatment, no help at all, and bring them back into society, which oftentimes is difficult to bring them back into the normal society from the theater of war.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a combat veteran myself, but I mean, when I was exiting the Marine Corps in 2009, I got back into the U.S. about 3.5 weeks before my discharge date, and 6 weeks after my discharge date, I was a college student. So the transition is rapid, and after, you know, 14 years of, you know, combat operations in Afghanistan and Iraq and other areas of the world, there's a good number of veterans who left the military and just didn't realize at the time that, you know, they experienced things that were going to follow them for a good long time after they left.
So often it doesn't surface for a long time, too. We had a guest on last week, and from VITAS, and he had talked about hospice and end-of-life care and so forth. And one of the problems with veterans is that a combat veteran, oftentimes when they get into the end-of-life cycle, that their subconscious becomes reality, and they actually think that they're back in the theater of war, and he's helping them through their programs to help them through that. Well, on a lesser scale, it's the same thing now, where you have a nightmare or you have a flashback, and all of a sudden, for an instant, you're there, and you may then do something that is out of the norm. And now this is the second chance issue that you have. And how does someone enter into this court?
So the process is mainly handled through the Adult Probation Office and the Public Defender and the Prosecutor's Office, the District Attorney's Office. So if a veteran is, you know, entered into the criminal justice system, and, you know, they either, inform, you know, their attorney or the judge who they're reporting before of their military service and express an interest in the program, the Veterans Treatment Court team will review their military discharge information, the information about their crime, and will screen them for entrance into the court program. And the Veterans Treatment Court team consists of the president judge in Montgomery County, the public defender's office, the district attorney's office, the federal VA, who has some social workers and some criminal justice professionals, and some other professionals in local government and mental health services to help us identify the unique needs of each veteran who is applying for the court program.
How's this initiated? I'm sure that when someone comes up before the court system, they're not going to say, "Oh, gee, are you a veteran? Well, here's a program that's available to you. Let's look into it." How do they identify it, and who initiates this whole process of getting you involved?
It depends, and it varies widely, because the idea of veterans treatment courts are still very much a new concept. Right now in the Commonwealth, there's a couple dozen counties, I believe, it may be less, that have an active veterans treatment court program. And then outside of Pennsylvania, the popularity of treatment courts for veterans varies from state to state. Montgomery County has one of the oldest in the Commonwealth, but it's I think about four and a half years old now. And we're learning a lot after getting into this unique business. And one is that, as I mentioned, no two treatment courts are alike. So to answer your question of how you get referred, for lack of a better term, we try and keep law enforcement informed about the availability of the program. We try and keep the Bar Association informed about the presence of the program, and we get a good number of interest, but a lot of folks will not realize at first that the program is it's not an easy way out by any means. In almost every case that I can recall, the Veterans Treatment Court program takes longer for you to enter and participate with this three-phase, usually 18 to 24-month program, than it would to just say, state that you're guilty in court and either do your time or take your fine or do whatever. The goal is to have our veterans enter into the court program, go through the treatment that they need to address the issues that brought them there, and then graduate them from the treatment court team and send them back into society without the burden of having a criminal record. And to date, I think we have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 30 graduates who are, many of whom have gone on to great things, and trace a lot of that back to the veteran court team, providing them an opportunity to have a second chance.
That's great. It's a rehabilitation process in advance of actually going through the whole system, if you will, where we're trying to be proactive rather than reactive on this. Also, as far as your department, how many veterans are there in Montgomery County, and how many people actually seek help from you?
So Montgomery County, there's a Penn State study a couple years back that estimated we have about 55,000 veterans in Montgomery County. The majority of those are Vietnam era and older, but we have our client basis is probably about 1,000 to 1,200 veterans that we personally work with each year. The VFWs and other service organizations work with a lot as well, but we're fairly certain that if more veterans knew we were there, that we could assist more.
So you Absolutely. Are the best. You are the best kept secret in Montgomery County.
It's quite a claim to fame, but I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side. Continue the conversation.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library.
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp here in studio with my wife, Jean, from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And Sean, we were talking about the various programs that are available through your office. What is the general advice that you can offer right now on how to navigate this whole process?
The absolute best advice I can give is use a service organization. Like I said before, you could use ours. It doesn't have to be us or an American Legion, VFW, DAV. But if it costs you nothing to have an expert assist you with filing a claim for VA benefits, then it makes sense to use that expert's advice. So I encourage everybody, give us a call. If you have a question about, you know, all things VA, give us a call first, because you're probably going to wait a good long time to try and get a hold of somebody at the VA, and odds are 9 times out of 10 we can answer your question for you,
or at least direct you to the answer.
Correct.
And what is the phone number?
Oh yes, 610-278-3285 is our main office extension, and you can also find our website on the montcopa.org. That's the Montgomery County website. And we have a Facebook page. It's Montgomery County Veterans Affairs Office.
So with that, it doesn't really matter what the services are. You can at least direct someone and give them an answer. They can talk to a real person and not have to go through the voicemail prompts that drive me crazy.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't guarantee a favorable answer, but we have a very knowledgeable staff who can tell you if the information that you have or the partial information that you have is correct. I've been shocked by how much bad information is circulating about veterans benefits in general. A lot of that is compounded by the fact that if you are a family member of a veteran, you may, you know, be outside of the general knowledge basis of the different military acronyms or the dates of service that you're you know, loved one served in. So just utilize our expertise, and we'll get you set straight.
So you may not have the answers, but at least you'll direct someone to the area where you can find the answers.
Absolutely, yes.
And one of those answers on the transportation side is the new program that you have available on transporting the veterans to the various areas.
Yes, and again, that program, the Veteran Shuttle Service, as it's being known right now, will be starting next month in July. It's a grant-funded program, a pilot program, so we have 6 months of funding for it. So we're encouraging everybody to use the service so that we can, 6 months from now, go to the commissioners and request additional funding moving forward. We have job advertisements right now for two drivers to operate the vehicle. And the vehicle will be leaving 4 days a week from different areas of Montgomery County, Mondays from the Souderton area, Tuesdays from the Pottstown area, I believe, Thursdays from the Norristown area, and Fridays from the Jenkintown-Ambler area. And the goal is, again, to transport veterans who are disabled or elderly or just don't drive to the VA centers, a means to get to their VA medical appointment, and then a ride back home at the end of the day. Interested individuals can call our office again at the 610-278-3285 number, and we can coordinate the pickup time, reserve seats, and answer any questions you may have about VA healthcare services.
And the important thing about this is that you will cross outside the Montgomery County lines so that they can go to the Coatesville VA or anywhere else that they need to go, Philadelphia would have you.
Yes, sir.
That's very important. Well, thank you so very much for that. And we encourage people to use that program, because if you don't use it, it will not be funded in the future, and it will end up just dissolving and going away. Okay. Well, I thank you for joining us today. We have Sean from the Office of Veterans Affairs in Montgomery County.
Can you give that telephone number one more time, Sean?
Absolutely. 610-278-3285.
And we also have Bish, who is actually Sergeant U.S. Army, and he was in during 68 to 70. So, Bish, we thank you so much for joining us as well. I wanted to just take a moment here, because today is the 13th of June. Tomorrow is the 14th, and it's Flag Day. Many people don't even realize the meaning of Flag Day, and I just wanted to kind of bring that to the program today, if I could. The 4th of July is pretty much identified as being America's birthday, but the idea of having a flag celebration day was actually originated in 1885. There was a school teacher by the name of B.J. Kigrand, and he was in Franconia, Wisconsin, and he got his students together to observe June 14th, which was the 108th anniversary of the official adoption of the Stars and Stripes as the flag birthday. And then we move forward to June 14th of 1889, and George Balch, who was a kindergarten teacher in New York City, he actually planned ceremonies for the kindergarten and the school district in the New York City area to celebrate Flag Day. And then on June 14th of 1891, the Betsy Ross House in Philadelphia held a Flag Day celebration. And following that, we also had the New York Society of the Sons of the Revolution, and they celebrated Flag Day. We then go to April 25th of 1893, and there was an adopted resolution by the mayor of Philadelphia authorizing private citizens to participate. Prior to this, it had been school children. And then Flag Day itself, the exercises, June 14th of 1893, were held in Independence Square by school children. And they assembled, and they each carried a small flag, and a patriotic songs were sung, and a dress was delivered. And then in 1894, the governor of New York actually directed that June 14th Flag Day would be celebrated, and public buildings would have flags flags displayed. So then we look going forward, we actually have Frederick Lane, Secretary of the Interior, delivered in 1914 a Flag Day address in which he repeated the words that he said the flag had spoken to him that morning, and the flag said to him, I am what you make me. I am nothing more. I swing before your eyes as a bright gleam of color, a symbol of yourself. So today is the day before, tomorrow being Flag Day, with President Truman, actually on August 3rd of 1949, an act of Congress made June 14th the actual celebration known as Flag Day. So to our listening audience, you may wonder, what do I do on Flag Day? How do I celebrate that? Well, one thing is you would display your flag. The other thing that's really important is the retirement of flags. People will come into the store and say, what do I do with my old flag? Well, if a flag has been serving for a period of time and it becomes torn or tattered or faded and it served its useful purpose, it is then retired. And it's actually retired on Flag Day. That ceremony is a special ceremony where they're burned. Flags are burned with special documents in a special ceremony. And there'll be ceremonies all over the state, all over the country today. There's one locally in Honeybrook, Pennsylvania, at the American Legion. There will be others, I'm sure, whether it be at a VFW or other American Legions. Oftentimes, Boy Scouts will do this. We have had several Scouts do it as an Eagle Project, where they will collect the old flags that are in need of being retired, and they will perform this special ceremony. So if you have flags that you are looking to dispose of, bring them into the store. We collect thousands every year, and oftentimes it's funny. Someone will buy a flag and say, so what do I do with my old flag? And I say, well, just bring it into us. Next thing you know, they show up with like eight of them, and they say, you know, we had these in our closet, and we didn't know what to do with them. We just couldn't throw them out. So think in terms of Flag Day as a special day where you would display your flag, honor the flag, and also perhaps take your children or your grandchildren to a ceremony. It's a very meaningful experience to see the respect that is shown, and it's mostly by the military. Again, the military has served under this flag in a very special way, so we ask you to participate as best you can. And I know that Jean has a poem that she wanted to read that kind of reflects what is the meaning of the flag.
This is called Remember Me. Some people call me Old Glory. Others call me the Star-Spangled Banner. But whatever they call me, I am your flag, the flag of the United States of America. I remember some time ago people lined up on both sides of the street to watch the parade, and naturally I was there, proudly waving in the breeze. When your daddy saw me coming, he immediately removed his hat and placed it over his heart. Remember? And you, I remember you standing there straight as a soldier. You didn't have a hat, but you were giving the right salute. Remember your little sister? Not to be outdone, she was saluting the same as you, with her hand over her heart. Remember? What happened? I'm still the same old flag. Oh, I have added a few more stars since you were a boy, and a lot more blood has been shed since those parades of long ago. But I don't feel as proud as I used to. When I come down your street, you just stand there with your hands in your pockets. I may get a small glance, but then you look away. I see the children running around and shouting. They don't seem to know who I am. I saw one man take off his hat and look around. He didn't see anybody else with his hat off, so he quickly put his hat back on. Is it a sin to be patriotic? Have you forgotten what I stand for and where I've been? Anzio, Normandy, Omaha Beach, Guadalcanal, Korea, and Vietnam? Take a look at the memorial honor roll sometime. Look at the names of those who never came back in order to keep this republic free. One nation under God. When you salute me, you are actually saluting them. Well, it won't be long until I'll be coming down your street again. So, when you see me, stand straight, place your right hand over your heart. I'll salute you by waving back, and then I'll know that you remembered.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.